What is up, fools? It is April 27th, 2020. Did everybody enjoy the Peter Schiff, Jeff Gundlach love fest yesterday? I certainly did. Today, got some brand new shit for you. What do you think about that? First and foremost, before I get started, I want to shout out the people that make this podcast possible. Those are my patrons, people who donate a monthly recurring sum to help support the podcast. As one guy complaining on YouTube put it yesterday, there's almost 5 minutes of advertisements in the beginning of this podcast. Yeah, and then there's 2 hours of uninterrupted content, okay? No ads in the middle of my shit. YouTube won't monetize me, so don't worry about that. Just deal with the first 5, 6, 7 minutes. I have a lovely voice. You guys should just be tuning in just to hear me read the patrons every single time. You guys should be super stoked about it. All right, this podcast is brought to you by my friends at JM Bullion. Where do I buy my gold and silver? Everybody's always asking me. I buy them from JM Bullion. Now I buy them there exclusively. I just started buying from JM Bullion a couple weeks ago. I'm extraordinarily happy with the way that they've fulfilled my order. Same day they have shipped, same day in all three instances that I placed orders from them. I've gotten to know some of the guys over at JM Bullion. They seem like honest and trustworthy guys. I've enjoyed doing business with them. They are reputable. They've been around since 2011. They've done over $3 billion in sales. They have a decent inventory that's in stock too, unlike some other physical bullion dealers right now. And just all around good guys, JM Bullion coming through to help support the podcast. If you use code QTR5 at JM Bullion, they will give you $5 off your order, plus they'll give you free shipping. So what do you think about that? Check out my friends over at JM Bullion. Link is in the podcast description, as is their Twitter. This podcast also brought to you by my dear friend Pete Hedgetis. Pete Hedgetis started his own trading service, and if you listen to the podcast before, you know it's called The Trader's Path. The Trader's Path was set up specifically to do the opposite of what all the scumbags and shitheads that start their own trading services do when they set up these organizations to try to just front run their members and try to just gouge money from people and are just altogether odious individuals. My homeboy Pete Hedgetis said, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm done with the gurus. I'm done with the bullshit. I'm starting my own service for the everyday guy. I'm going to be an honest person. And here's what I'm going to provide. Daily watch lists. I'm going to provide live streams. We're going to trade in red markets, green markets. We're going to come up with a little bit of a community here, which in these volatile times isn't the worst thing to have around you, especially if you're a day trader, because that means you probably have no friends anyways at home. Probably just huddled behind 6 computer screens every day. I know the life, folks. It is miserable. So you can buy your friendship. Check out my buddy Pete Hedgetis over at The Trader's Path. Wonderful guy, wonderful service. Tell Pete QTR sent you. He'll strike a deal with you. Tell him you want to pay however much you want to pay. He'll get it done for you. My man Pete over there, good people. This podcast also brought to you by my friends over at Rumorhound. If you're a day trader, there is not another tool like Rumorhound. Rumorhound is a piece of software that uses artificial intelligence and a proprietary set of variables that it plugs into a proprietary algorithm to try to help determine whether rumors, and they pop up on a daily basis, if you're a trader, you know this, whether rumors about mergers and acquisitions are true, or likely false. So it is meant to be a guide to help you in your decision-making process, because as we all know, mergers and acquisitions are a great place and can be very lucrative, whether the rumor is true or not true, depending on how you position yourself. And so their piece of software, which is a beautiful piece of software, looks at all these different variables and spits out to you an easy-to-read kind of recommendation as to whether or not these rumors are something you should pay attention to or something to ignore. There's nothing like it out there. Check out my friends at Rumorhound. Rumorhound is offering a free 14-day trial if you use the link in the podcast description. And you can follow them for free tips on rumors when they occur at Rumorhound on Twitter. This podcast also brought to you by my friends at Corvus Gold, my friend Chris Boas, Ken R., my homeboy Chris Bede, Nathan Michaud at Traders for a Cause, Nicholas Parks, my buddy Russ Valenti, who just got engaged. Congratulations, brother. Shipping analyst Jay Mintzmyer, what's going on, brother? David Harvey and Crichton Titus, along with Brainerd Ferguson, Stank Love, Mr. J.K. Cunningham, Ken, Dylan Davis, and the whole fucking gang of degenerates. What's going on? Finally, some of the latest patrons, my friend Carol, David Hunt, my friend Michelle Koenig, thank you so much, I see you, Sean Cole and Fred Rush. All right, How about that? Keeping it under 5 minutes today. Because one of my other supporters is on with me today, so we'll get to talk to him for like 2 hours instead of shouting his shit out. Maybe we'll do it at the end. Two things you need to know before we get started. First is I am not a financial advisor. I hold no licenses, no registrations, no Series 7, no Series 8, no Series 63, no Series 69, no Series 52, no Series 77, no shit. I don't know shit. All right, let's leave it at that. Nothing that I say or do ever in my life should be construed as financial advice because that's not what it is. I'm simply talking about what I do, what my thoughts and opinions are, and the same goes for all my guests. Don't listen to anything that they have to say when it comes to finance. Make your own decisions. Live and die by your own sword. Do your research elsewhere. Take two alcoholic drinks to the face and let's get this fucking circus started. All right, it's been a while trying to track this guy down. It's like trying to hold on to a wet fucking fish. It's unbelievable trying to book this guy for somebody that I think likes me as a human being, that I like as a human being back. It is exceptionally impossible to book this guy. But today we got motherfucking Sang Lucci in the house. What's up?
What's up, Chris? What's going on, Chris?
How are you?
I'm well, man. I'm well. I'm doing well in the midst of the pandemic, my friend.
Yeah, you, well, first and foremost, I want to just shout you out and say thank you for your continued support of the podcast. Everybody gets to hear about Sang Lucci every time I do a podcast. So for some people, they're probably the first time hearing from you. But on behalf of my listeners and myself, I want to say thank you very much for continuing to support what we're doing, brother.
It's a pleasure, man. It is a pleasure. I love hearing the podcast. I still haven't heard shifts from the other day, but I love hearing everyone. I try to catch everyone.
That was yesterday, yeah. He got tangled up with Jeff Gundlach there a little bit. They got some who can hawk gold the most beef between the two of them.
Yeah. I saw him on the bill for some trader summit as well. It looks like he's around, man.
Who, Schiff or Gundlach?
Yeah, Schiff. Yeah, Schiff.
Oh yeah, he does a lot of conferences.
Yeah, Schiff.
Man. He's gay, man. He's got a lot to say, man. He likes to talk, and he's a smart dude. Indeed. All right. You know who's another smart dude? You are. I got a million things I want to talk to you about. First off, yo, how cool was it that we did that podcast about blowing up your trading account? I think that was the last one we did, but I've gotten so much good feedback on that since we did it back in January, I think that was.
Yeah, I've probably gotten an equal amount of feedback as well. I'm happy we did it. I'm happy we put it out there. I'm happy that the culture seems a little bit different. You know, it's, even though it's not where we'd like it to be as far as honesty, as far as integrity and all that kind of stuff, but it's moving in the right direction, man. And all the response that we got, I think, is proof of that fact.
Well, let's talk about honesty. About a week or two ago, you posted a monstrous loss.
Yes,
like
indeed.
You posted a $400,000+ loss, which I think was one day. That wasn't your month's P&L, am I right?
Yeah, that was one day. That was one day.
Yeah, when Amazon was running, and it looked like from the post that you put up that was like 25% of your account. And
Yep.
Man, I texted you that day and I just said, yo, just so you know, I love you. That's it. And I haven't talked to you since. You want to walk us through what the fuck happened?
Of course, man. Of course. What better place to do so? Oh, man. What better place to do so? I was coasting, man. I was having my best month, bro. I was up almost $500,000. And then I decided, after taking a look at Shopify, I took one look at Shopify. I was like, screw this. This is how a good amount of my shorts start. I take a look at something and I'm like, screw this. I got to short this thing. So I start shorting Shopify a little bit. I start shorting Amazon a little bit. And the way I like to do it is I like to short calls because it doesn't put me immediately at risk. You know, the stock's got to move another friggin' 50 points or whatever the hell it is for me to really be in trouble and for it to really get away from me. So these things kept running, right? I put the short on and these things kept running and I was able to hedge out for 2 days while I was in early to the trade. I'm always too early to these things anyway. And by the way, anytime I decide to short any of these things, I get the worst aggressive hate on Twitter and on social media and everywhere. People are just like, dude, Why would you ever short Shopify, man? Why would you ever short Amazon, man? That's the first immediate response I get all the time. So I short these things. And then I end up on a plane. I end up on a plane while back to Boston, which, by the way, I spent $11 for that flight to from Puerto Rico to Boston. And I'm stuck in Shopify. I'm on the plane with the Wi-Fi, and I'm hedging myself out. That's what I'm doing. I'm just hedging myself out. I was down 80 grand one day. I made it all back just off the hedges. And I was like, this thing can't keep on running. I got to get the top of this thing, right? So the next day, they go even more. They go even more in my face, and I sat there, and I froze, and I couldn't move, bro. I couldn't move. And it was that hesitation that kind of put me in the hole. And by the time the end of the day was done, I was actually down like 600 grand. And by the time the end of the day came around, it was around 450 or so. So I probably did more damage in overtrading it at that day. Right. And then, by the way, the next day, those things tanked. And of course, had I held my whole damn position, I would have been fine. So there was a lot of structural issues that happened. Number one, I ran out of bullets, bro. I ran out of bullets. That's what happened. That's the bigger picture. So the first day while I was on the plane and I was hedging out, I had plenty of bullets, right? So I was able to make all that back. The next day, I was stuck. I had no bullets and I couldn't hedge the way I wanted to. I froze, and that's what happened, bro. I got blown out, basically. So, you know, Interactive Brokers blew me out, and that's what happened, bro.
Anytime you're trying to hedge out a trade using Interactive Brokers on an airplane's Wi-Fi, you know you're already in a bad fucking spot to begin with, man. You know what I mean? It's not the most mobile-friendly platform. In-air Wi-Fi sucks. You know, I always, if I'm traveling, man, I try to make sure stuff is okay for at least 24 to 48 hours. A lot of times when I travel, I'll just, you know, I'll make sure that there's no short dated positions on or anything like that. But man, I've been there too. I've been on the damn airplane trying to fucking refresh the account on the go-go Wi-Fi that's dropping out every 6 seconds while you're over the plains of Kansas City or whatever, some bullshit, you know, and you're trying to get a weekly call off at 3:50 p.m. Eastern, trying to do the fucking time zone change, knowing that if this thing exercises in 10 minutes, you're going to be long 10,000 shares of a $500 stock. Like, oh, shit.
But right. And one thing for a lot of you active traders to know after this, and one thing you'll realize if you're aggressively using leverage, Interactive Brokers blows you out way before you actually hit your strike price. So yeah, they cover their ass way before a lot of other brokers are able to do that. And let me tell you something. The market makers know. They know. They know that that's going to happen. They fucking know that that's going to happen. And they wait until they know, like, this guy's going to get force covered right here. That's what happens. And boom, the thing just rocks back the next day or the day after, once they shake everybody out. And it's pretty ingenious what they're able to do. And unfortunately for most retail traders, I mean, number one, you don't have enough bullets to deal with this. So everybody's got to get blown out here before these things actually have a decent reversal, because the whole move up is just literally people like me who are in short calls and they have to buy stock to hedge. And that's just the way it goes. Now we're happening to be in earnings here. So everything is waiting until, these earnings get posted. But That's literally what happened, bro. So I learned a good amount of lessons. But all in all, I'm positive for the month. You know what I mean? So am I pissed off? 100%. 100% I'm pissed off. And I was super upset when that happened. And of course, I went through a small period of like, what the fuck am I doing with myself? What am I doing in life that I go ahead and I expose myself to this much of a situation? But, yo, this is the game, man. This is what I do. So I'm back at this place, and it's all good, man. It's all good. Once I catch the top of shop, hey, I'll make some money.
Yeah, when we did our last podcast, which if you don't know, it's number 155, and we just talk about blowing up our trading accounts and how many times we've done it. And we made it to kind of have a podcast out there so that if you blow up, you have something to listen to that's going to remind you that, you know, shit eventually gets better. But one of the things that we talked about on that podcast that you do, especially when you take a loss like $450,000, is you start thinking about, man, what could I have bought with $450,000, man? You could own an entire fucking village in Costa Rica for $450,000, man. And when that shit starts going through your mind, then that leads to problems, man. You do yourself a lot more harm than good.
Absolutely. It's the cycle of thoughts that happen after these losses happen, or you feel like failure hits. And it's ironic how these things also happen at the same time you're pivoting in your life, or maybe you're going through some shit in your life. Like, I had some family stuff going on in Boston. That was the reason why I came here. And, you know, even a little bit of distraction, even a little bit of hesitation, even a little bit of slowness, for example. I don't know if you remember The Wire. Do you remember The Wire with the Barksdales?
I never watched The Wire.
Okay. It was season two. It was one everybody watches The Wire. You know, the Barksdale dude was teaching his nephew, and he was.
Oh shit! Did I lose you? I lost you. What'd you do? Did you mute your fucking microphone again? Reconnecting. There is a poor network connection. Yeah, no shit. This just happened, man. We had him on fucking four different things, and he couldn't get on Wi-Fi, and shit wasn't working, and now I gotta call his broke ass back. See, this is what happens when you drop $450,000 in a day. You gotta go on Metro PCS, and people can't get in touch with you. And normally what most podcast people would do is they would fucking...
I don't know what happened there, my friend.
What happened is you blew $400,000 in a day, and now you're on Metro PCS cell phone service, and you got to upgrade your cell phone back to AT&T or a primary carrier. That's what happened.
What if it was you? Like, let's really have that conversation. You know what I mean?
It likely was, actually.
All right, pop me back on. I had a good thing going.
Hold on one sec. Well, actually, I never stopped recording, so I'm just going to let it go. You hung up, okay. And then I talked some shit about you. But now we're still rolling. I called you back and everything, so we'll just take it from here.
Perfect. So yeah, man, you life tends to coincide with your ability to handle your business, to handle what you have on your plate, to handle it properly, to handle it effectively. And I was a little bit slow, man. I was a little bit slow with everything that I had going on with business, with life, and with trading. And it all kind of tends to culminate at the same unique and ironic moment, man. It's weird how it all kind of converges all together. I don't know if you felt the same way.
Well, they say bad things come in threes. You ever hear that?
Yes, indeed.
And I don't know if that's true or not, but I've noticed, I mean, certainly you take notice when like two or three bad things happen at once. Sometimes it's two, sometimes it's four. But the point is, shit does have a tendency to come together, man. And I think we talked about this too, how when you're on a good streak, not just with trading, but with life in general, you know, your relationship's happy, your girl's happy, your parents are happy, life's good. You don't really even think about it. You're just riding that wave, and you're not stopping to think like, man, shit's going great for me right now. And it's not until something comes out of the woodwork and just absolutely torches you that you're like, ah, oh, fuck, man, I had a good like a month ago.
Yeah, absolutely. So the slew of thoughts, to go back to that, what we were talking about, you know, it's difficult to control it after some things like this happen. I'm much better at it through experience and through always, you know, through being there before. You kind of know where you are. You kind of know how to get back. One of the biggest things that, you know, just like Chris said, is you take an assessment now of where you are in life. Usually I'll do like a net worth calculation several times to realize that, all right, I'm still okay here. I still got plenty of chips to play with. Everything is fine. And, you know, once I'm able to calm down, it's crazy. I'm able to work it back very quickly. Now, I think the level that I need to get to, though, is to find a way now to continually prevent myself from getting into these situations in the first fucking place. And that's part of the larger problem, which, you know, I'll be working on pretty aggressively for the rest of the year.
Yeah, and one of the things that we talked about when we did the last podcast was, you know, focusing too much on that number. And that's something that I was guilty of on Friday. Now, I wasn't even trading or anything, but I was just watching one of my accounts that you know, was just, it was a negligible up day or down day. I don't even know what it was, but the big number at the front of the P&L kept changing. You know, the first number.
Yes, sir.
And it was a mind fuck watching that first number change, even though the change between, you know, the first number moving up or down is a dollar. When, you know, you hit, say we're talking about $500,000. You know, when you're looking at a 499999 is very different from when you're looking at a 500000. And it's just one little dollar. So in that case, if your account's down 0.01% and you're watching that little thing fucking flip from 4 to 5, from 4 to 5, or 40,000 to 49,000 to 50,000, or 4,900 to 5,000, man, it's like it starts to fuck with your head. And I'm sitting there Friday and I finished under the number. I finished on the lower number and I was like, well, this is no big deal. I was like, so like, what am I pissed off about? And then I was like, I was pissed off for a little while. And then I went out for a run or I went out for a walk or something and got up Saturday. And I said to myself on Friday, I'm like, you know, when I'm not sitting in front of the computer screen, this is going to feel totally different. I'll be totally fine. And Saturday rolled around and I was like, ah, I'm fine. Like, I have the exact same amount of money I did on Friday. I had the exact same amount of money I did on Thursday. Like, nothing material has changed here. You know, you do that thing like you're talking about. Like, you know, you do like a net worth calculation. And you're just like, all right, I'm chilling. Like, man, I was fucking bent out of shape on Friday. What was that all about?
Yes, yes. And we tend to, and when you're newer in the game, you tend to allow that emotion to kind of take over. And then you allow that emotion to snowball into everything else that you got going in your life. And you start degrading your sort of self-worth. And then it just goes down a shit pile, a shit pile of negative emotions and all that kind of stuff. So to the listeners out there, don't think that this is an issue that you just solve and it never happens. I mean, Chris just mentioned, I just mentioned, you know, we go back through these things. We have to re-realize these things. It's just like life and habits in general. You know, there's a lot of ups and downs with this stuff. So you kind of learn to expect it and you learn to enjoy the kind of the roller coaster of it all versus freaking beating yourself up so much about it. Or on the flip side, getting so freaking excited and so, you know, off the wall that you think you're going to rule the world after you make $100,000 or you make your best trade ever, you know? So it happens on both sides. So, yeah, man.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. It's like, you know, when people go to therapy for other issues they have in their lives, what they learn is they learn how to kind of undo that ball of string that has gotten them to thinking the way that they're thinking, where it's this kind of one-dimensional, you get into a pattern, really, is what it is. And you just learn, like, what you have to walk yourself through in your head mentally to break out of that pattern. And this is the same deal. Recognizing on Friday, oh, I'm not, you know, what am I flipping out about here? A dollar, you know, like $1, that's fucking making a difference. $5, whatever, you know, 0.01% or whatever's going on. But mentally, there's another part of your brain that just forces you to try to think about it another way. And a lot of trading is going through that muck over and over and over again until you figure a way to talk yourself out of it and stop fucking up, right?
Yeah, and another point I'll throw out there too, Chris, you had mentioned it, that one simple number, you know, if the tens place, or let's say the tens thousands place, or the 100,000 place changed from a 4 to a 5, all of a sudden your emotions would display something completely different. Your attitude and your energy would display something completely different. And through that point, I want to say that the more and more I delve into these emotions, these thoughts and everything, the more I realize, like, through the Buddhist teachings and all that kind of stuff, is that, like, we are being lied to. Like, we lie to ourselves. Our bodies and our biological system, like, it gives us these signals that you know, just jump off emotions, which aren't true. You know, oftentimes they get you away from your instincts. So visually speaking, you see a 4 turn into a 5 and your energy changes completely, but it's a fucking lie. It's a lie. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't, but it triggers these emotions. It triggers these freaking neural pathways, and it triggers all these things to happen, which have been happening your whole freaking life. And the more I look at all my thoughts and the more I look at all my actions, I'm like, damn, man, How much am I fucking lying to myself? When I get up in the morning and I spend 2 hours on fucking Instagram, and in reality, my instinct is like, dude, get up and fucking do a little workout, get some good food. And I just sit there and I sit in a state of vegetation for 2 fucking hours. And then the rest of my day is fucked up, all because I prohibited that instinct from speaking out and taking control. The instinct is like, dude, get up. Let's go. Let's go with the day. And Instagram and all the things that trap me, my addictions, my, you know, whatever you want to call it, they're holding me back, bro. They're holding me back all the time, man. And it's wild how just something small as a visualization from a 4 to a fucking 5, or a green to a red, or a fucking, you know, 400,000 negative P&L to green P&L or whatever. It's amazing how much it fucks with your head, man, and fucks with your whole body.
Yeah, I think part of it too, if you want to like zoom out into a broader sense, is if you look at the environment that we're in and all the things that we're born into, you know, the technology, the entertainment, the societal norms, all these things that we're kind of born into, you know, such a big difference from kind of the way that we're probably instinctually programmed as, you know, fucking monkeys, right? I mean, we evolved from chimps, okay, and then all of a sudden we're born one day and somebody puts an iPad in front of us, you know, and they're like, yeah, open this thing to instant message somebody, bing, 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 right. I got to get you on my buddy list because I'm trying to, you know, take you on a date, that kind of shit. And you know, I think that's why a lot of people ultimately wind up in therapy or needing therapy. And it's interesting. You see people that fall victim to their patterns and fall victim to all the things that hold people back, whether it's guilt and shame and depression a lot of times too. A lot of these things come from not being able to understand, maybe your body not being able to understand and process and understand the syntax of what daily life in the United States or on the planet Earth in 2020 is like versus what we were doing fucking 3 million years ago, right? Which is just, you know, you swing from tree to tree, you eat some berries and you have sex and you go to sleep and you take a shit.
100%, man, 100%. And my thoughts now, like I'm such a watcher of my thoughts now. And we can talk about the worst social programming or the worst conditioning out there, which is the mass media. And you know, nobody ever taught us that sitting there listening to CNN or fucking CBS and you know, Gail, whatever her name is on CBS in the morning, or any of these folks on TV, or sitting there watching Twitter, nobody told us what would, nobody, we're not ready here for the programming our bodies are taking and suffering because of what we're reading, what we're fucking paying attention to. It's wild, man. It's wild. So I'm a big watcher now of all my thoughts. And, you know, instead of hating on myself and feeling shitty because I spent the 2 hours on Instagram, I'll just chalk it up to my human conditioning and try to do better, man. That's all I can do, bro.
And you literally, these things literally trap you. I'll give you a a perfect example, man. Yesterday, I thank God that I've been able to kind of explore some of these things. And you know, I'm not claiming to have the answers or have the right ideology or have the right philosophy or any of that shit. But over the last couple of years, have been more cognizant of the role that these things play in my daily life. And so yesterday, for instance, was just walking from upstairs to downstairs. I was getting ready to watch Netflix and just chill out for a little while and just sit on the couch. And I got downstairs and I was like, I left my phone upstairs. I was like, you know, gotta run back up there and get it. And I got halfway back up the stairs and I'm like, what am I doing? I'm like, you know, I know what I want to do. I want to go downstairs and get on the couch. I'm going to make a drink, and I'm going to watch this documentary that I'm watching. What the hell do I need my phone for? And I had this, like, aha moment. And I was like, man, let me leave it up there, and then I'll just go. So I did. I went downstairs, and I focused 100% on what I was watching. It was crazy. Yep. And then, like, an hour and a half went by, and I was like, man, this is unbelievable. And I did the same thing today with going outside and taking a walk. I was getting ready to go out the front door. I was like, man, I got to get my phone, you know, in case so-and-so calls, whatever, this, that, and the other. And I was literally, I knew I was just doing 10 minutes around the block. You know, that was it. I just wanted to get some fresh air. And I just went out and I just walked without it.
Yep.
And it's just...
It's a beautiful thing. And it's so beautiful, But again, for us to say it, you know, you gotta, it's crazy that we're telling people, hey, just something this simple can make that big of a difference. I mean, I'm at my daughter's mother's house, and she is yelling at her 5-year-old kid and her 11-year-old to get off their iPads and do some homework. And she's saying this all while her face is buried in her Instagram, and her fiance is right next to her looking at some fucking memes or whatever, you know? Right. And I'm over there looking at some damn stocks, and I'm looking at the kids, and the kids don't want to do their homework at all. All they want to do is run back to the iPad. And it's just a debunk fucking system, bro, that we have just said yes to this openly, and nobody is doing anything about this. We're just saying yes to this, and this is the path that we're all going down and suffering with, and everybody is just like, hey, this is the world that we live in, and this is what it is. And although I agree with it, it shouldn't be a battle every day like that, Chris, man. It shouldn't be a battle. Like, if I got my kids and I'm sitting there yelling, and we're just having this battle for hours a day because of the phone, that shit ain't healthy, man. That shit is not fucking healthy. It ain't healthy.
And it's the scary thing for me was that the feeling of that itch of, oh, I got to go back and I got to get this. You know, oh, I got to run downstairs to get it. And it's like, all right, stop. Like, why do you need to get it? Well, what if so-and-so calls, whatever? Well, then you can tell that person. But, you know, I keep my shit on Do Not Disturb all the time anyway. So I have to constantly be looking at my phone if I want to see what's going on. But then I just tell that person, hey, I was away from the phone for 20 minutes. You know, remember when you used to say that back before there were cell phones? People were like, dude, I called you yesterday. I wanted to see if you could go out and play. Oh, I was already outside. I missed your phone call. All right. Like, we'll pick it up tomorrow.
That's it. That is literally it. So, you know, to train everybody and to go through the habitual exercises with everybody, of course it's going to take more work, and it's easy to fall back to this thing, this sort of failsafe, this sort of a cocoon of fucking oblivion. But it's so comfortable inside that cocoon that you just don't want to leave. It's so much more better and comfortable in there, but it's you know, at some point you just realize, like, this is you know, this is what I got to get away from. And the ones who are able to push forward in whatever they're doing in life, in their relationships, whatever, they've learned at least a little bit, you know, how to push it off, man. How to push it off at least a little bit, man. And every little bit helps.
So let me ask you a question, man. When you just flew from PR back up to Boston for $11, what was that? What was it like? I mean, it's April 27th, 2020. So we're in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. The entire country has been on lockdown for 45 days. States haven't really started to reopen or anything like that yet. What was it like flying, man?
Yeah. So number one, I mean, I think the U.S. is pretty much the only, well, maybe not just the only one, but I know South America, all the airports are closed. Puerto Rico and all the U.S. airports are still open. When I flew into Boston, number one, when I was in Puerto Rico, the flights to Boston and New York, like, they were flying at maybe 30% capacity, bro. 30%, maybe 40% capacity. They had a seat in the middle that was open. And, you know, so they purposely put people on the aisle or the windows, which still wasn't enough space anyway. And then the New York flight, though, while you were in the airport, everybody was sitting next to each other at the damn terminal anyway. You know, so there's a good amount of people flying into New York and Boston from Puerto Rico. Now, when I got to Boston, no testing was done. There was nobody really there. They say you have to do 2 weeks of quarantine. So that's what I went ahead and did. Airbnbs are all shut down everywhere. I tried 20 Airbnbs, literally, and hotels. They shut me out. They refunded me. Luckily, I had a friend who, you know, was able to help me out. And so I self-quarantined here. I decided, screw it. I'm going to go take the damn test for it, that little nose test where they shove the shit in your face and try to get you a test. And then the next day it came back negative. But apparently there's a lot of false positives for this as well. But I tested negative, and Boston is pretty open, to be quite honest. Boston's pretty open, to be quite honest. You can go, you can move around, you can bike, you can run, you know, you can go to the parks and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, all the eateries and the food spots are closed. Everything is, you know, everything as far as that is closed, but Uber Eats is freaking popping, man. This shit is popping. So every single restaurant in the city is open. You can get whatever you want still. You know, so out in Boston, people are out and about, man. People are out and about, especially, you know, in the lower income areas, people are fucking out and about, baby. People are out and about and they're out in the parks, man. They're out with the music out and they're out hanging out in front of the cars and shit. And, you know, it's interesting, man. It is interesting.
What was the test like? What was it like getting that swab up the nose?
It's not as pain. It's a little painful, and for some people who just are just, you know, they're just going to be opposed to something like that entering their personal space or whatever, right, like that. You know, you might shed a tear or whatever, but it's a thin little stick, basically. It definitely goes up pretty far. They turn it around a little bit, and it definitely feels uncomfortable. But if you breathe and, you know, and just sit through it, you're good to go, man. You're good to go.
Like many traumas, you know, it's just about how exactly you kind of stay calm. The calmer you stay, the easier it probably is, right?
You know, it took me a while even for trading to realize that. I didn't even realize sometimes when I'm on edge, my shoulders tense up, shoulders bunch up. Like they, it's like I'm doing shoulder shrugs with like 85 pound fucking dumbbells, bro. My shoulders go right up. I'm not breathing at all. And then all of a sudden I look back. I'm like, dude, calm down. And then once I calm down and breathe, it's like, okay, this is what we got to do. Hedge over here. Get rid of the fucking position. Let's go. You know, so yeah, like you said, man, similar to anything. Any crisis management, man, just calm the fuck down.
Yeah, jiu-jitsu helps me out a lot with that because it's like, well, if you're getting choked, you know, you got two options. One is, you know, that you can always tap out and somebody will let the choke off you. So the thing is, how do you deal with it while it's happening? It's like everything in your body is telling you it's time to panic, it's time to freak out. You know, you're 10 seconds away from blacking out. But the more you freak out and the less you consciously think about what you're doing and, you know, from a technical standpoint, how you want to get out, how you want to position your body, how you want to take away somebody's post, how you want to roll them, whatever it is that you're trying to do, the calmer you stay, the easier it gets. And man, what a difference just, you know, in the couple of years that I've trained from day one going in where you're just, everything is tense, you know, you're like, the other person's trying to fucking kill you. And some of my best roles and some of my, you know, best sparring matches that I've had with people is when there's just some music on in the background and I'm just bobbing my head and I'm just going with the flow, man. And I, you know, the calmer you stay, the better you execute a lot of times. And this, I'm sure, is no different.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Yo, I wanted to ask you actually a couple questions just because I know right now is you're probably your most active that you have ever been. I mean, the stuff that has been happening, like I really wanted to get your overall kind of perspective on just like how the business of QTR has changed, if at all, because of the recent developments of the, you know, just not only from the market actions, but just from the Fed's response. Number one, you know, that's the biggest one I would throw at you. And just kind of in general, what is going on here from the media perspective, as well as, you know, from the consumer perspective. What I see, bro, I mean, I see even my mom, my daughter's mother, like when they talk about that's it, this recession is going to be the worst that has ever happened. And all of a sudden, like so many of my friends have called me and been like, dude, I got blown out. I was short. I thought this thing was just that's it. We were just going to drop off. And now all of a sudden market just slowly pushes back higher, man. There's been a lot going on. And I know the activity with QTR research has been insane, man. So talk to me, man. What's up in QTR?
There's not really a huge difference, man. I mean, if you look at whatever I stand for, whatever. Oh shit, did you put me on hold? There you are. All right, my bad. I'm sorry. I don't know if I did that or you did that. You know, whatever it is that I stand for, I guess, if you had to whittle that down, was just being myself and trying to just make the point that I don't think our central banking system globally is going to be able to. Son, what the fuck are you doing over there? What is that, man? What are you doing?
Bro, that is not me, bro.
I don't know what that. Can you hear it? That buzzing sound?
Yeah. Not anymore.
All right, cool. Yeah. What happened? You're going to ask me a question and then get me to answer and put me on hold while you answer so you can brush your teeth or shave your beard. Is that what happened?
That's exactly what happened.
I fucking knew it. You fucking dirtball. Thanks for at least being honest. But anyways, I will answer your question. So you can go ahead and mute your shit and then shave your dome or whatever it is that you're shaving, which I don't want to know about. But really, the mission is simple, which is just call out the Fed and the central banks on their bullshit. And so I've gotten a pretty good tailwind from all this stuff happening because the Fed looks like a bunch of dumbasses publicly from all of the measures that they're taking. And, you know, it's a whole debate as to whether or not those measures are warranted since the government is, in essence, the ones in charge of telling everybody to shut down. We're printing a lot of money, and that raises a lot of questions as to how long we can do it. And the only things that I've said over the last couple of years is I like to own gold because I feel like central banks own it, and that tells me something. They hold it in reserves for a reason. And there's a finite supply of it, and that I don't think the Fed's Ponzi scheme can go on forever. And both of those two things kind of inched in the right direction with what's happened here over the last couple of months. But really, man, what is my business? I don't have a business, man. I try to just keep things relaxed. I do the podcast because it's cathartic for me, and I like to talk to people like you who are my friends, who are these crazy people that try to shave themselves while they're in the middle of a podcast, and Mark Spiegel feeding his dog in the middle of the podcast. And like, I just got to start telling people, man, like, dude, if you don't want to talk, it's all right. You ain't got to talk.
But I wanted to ask you that question because, again, I mean, I'm on Twitter, man. And I see you very active. I see the trolls coming out left and right. I see all the economic wizards that are trying to come out purporting that, you know, you have to save the oil companies. You have to save Boeing. You have to save da 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 da. And then the other side of it, I hear the other side of it. And I hear you, you know, talking aggressively to everybody here, man. So,
the only thing that I do is I speak my mind. That's it. And I've taken strenuous steps to make sure that nobody else has a say in what it is that I say and when I say it and who I talk to and who I don't talk to. Because the people that have shown an interest in the podcast, and you know very well, because a couple years ago we had a discussion about which direction I want to take the podcast. Do I want to partner? Yeah. Do I want to sell it? Do I want to do this? Do I want to do that?
Yeah.
But ultimately what I decided as a result of all those kind of discussions and some solicitations I've gotten over the last year from people that definitely have the wallet to put some money into it and you know, whatever, is I'm not interested, man. I got a group of patrons that support me, which I appreciate. And for me, that's enough because I don't want to have to sacrifice even 1% of what I say, who I talk to, and when I talk to them. And that's the road that you start going down when you start introducing other people in, you know, like one guy said, well, I'd do a little bit less of the 9/11 podcast if I were you. Well, I'm like, fuck you. Then go fucking, you know, go listen to whatever it is that you listen to. Fucking Michael Smirkanish. I don't know. You know, like, I'll talk about what I want to talk about. That's it. And if I make $0 and I don't get world famous from the podcast, then that'll be great. Because then I'll be right where I am now. The fucking happiest guy in the world.
I love it, man. I love it. I do love it, man. So I mean, you had said that obviously this can't continue going on. This is larger of a package than we've ever seen, and they just dished out another $500 million, which, by the way, is already tapped out. Many of the small businesses that should have gotten it haven't gotten it yet. I agree with you full on that this cannot keep going on. But what is the end? What is the final shoe to drop, do you think, that is really going to break this system and bring about the chaos that will eventually create the new system that makes more sense and is the right way to go about it? What do you think is that final shoe?
Do you really want to know the answer, or do you just need time to fucking trim your mustache?
I want to know the answer. I want to know the answer from you. I mean, I know you ain't got shit. I know you ain't got no answer, but, you know, I want to hear your opinion.
You know what? I don't know how it all ends, man. You know, I just try to stay positioned for either one of this. You know, like I said to a guy I did a podcast a couple days ago, I said in 18 months, we could be at 30% unemployment with the Dow at 10,000 and gold at 10,000, or we could be at, you know, with gold at 1,000 and the Dow at 40,000 and back to 3% employment, because maybe they changed the, you know, what employment means, or they changed, you know, they have so many ways of fucking with the system. It appears to me that the Fed's only mandate is the stock market. People that listen to me understand that that's how I feel. So they're going to gear and do whatever they got to gear and do to keep that. Keep the stock market looking good. I don't know how they're going to fucking clean up the rest of this mess. I mean, Gundlach was on CNBC today. He made some very good points, which is, you know, we're in a depression. I mean, we're in a depression right now. There's 26 million people without a job, Lucci, right?
Right.
So what does the screen tell me when I turn around? It says the Dow futures ended the session up 490 points, and the Dow's closing back in on 24,000, and the S&P's over 2,800. And then I come back around here and look at this other screen without my trading shit on it. It's just got the news on it. And I see 26 million people unemployed. So what the fuck's actually going on out there, and how's it going to end?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Okay. All right.
What do you think?
Tough question. Me personally, I love this. My daughter wrote a story about the world wipe. And this was when she was like 12. And she was just like, all the systems that we currently live in. And by the way, the only system that she currently lives in is school, basically. So she kind of uses the system of schooling the way that it currently is in the States, and then drafts that over all the other systems and is like, you know, this shit doesn't work anymore. You know, this shit doesn't make sense anymore. So she started writing this book on the world wipe. And then all of a sudden this stuff started happening. And we look at each other the other day when I came home, and she looked at me, and I knew exactly what was on her head. She was like, listen, this is the perfect time for the world wipe and everything. And that's why I'm kind of, you know, asking you the question as well. I don't know what the final shoe is to drop at either, but I'll tell you what, whatever it is, we're not prepared for it. Human beings in 2020 are not prepared for it. We do not have the skill sets to deal with an event like that, where there literally are no jobs, where there literally is nothing, you know, where maybe we have to go back to building things. I think the majority of human beings are not ready for this shit. And that kind of got me scared the other day. It kind of got even me scared, because I know I don't even have the skill sets, because I know my dollar is not going to be worth shit. And I know I don't have, you know, I'm not an electrician. I'm not a this person. I'm not a that person. What can I really manage to handle in a situation where it gets to that point, man? That's what I was really scared of.
Yeah, I think, you know, the good news is I don't think it's going to happen overnight.
But, I don't think so.
But the bad news is I think it can happen a lot quicker than people think. And, mm-hmm. you know, doubling the monetary base and printing $10 trillion out of thin air is a great start. You know, I mean, it really is. The amount of QE we're doing on a daily basis now is like more than what we did throughout the course of the entire QE3, right? We're doing more than that daily. So somebody's going to pay the price somewhere. Something will have to give. Some variable will have to fucking go crazy. And at some point, something's going to break to a point where we can't fix it, you know? And I think we almost saw that when the Fed unleashed the bazookas these last two times, and the stocks, you know, went down, the market went down. That's an edgy kind of feeling. Because what do you hear? You hear a central bank saying, well, we're prepared to do unlimited quantitative easing, and the market responds by selling off 2,000 points. So that's all of a sudden people thinking, well, what is that even worth anymore? What's the stock market anymore? There's all these psychological, philosophical, ideological questions that come into play. You know, Fleckenstein calls it a loss of confidence in central banks. And I think to some degree that has to happen, man. We're operating on such a short timeline here. This QE that we've been doing is just a couple of decades, man. When you think about the course of human history and how elastic economic laws can be, and how much elasticity there can be before they have to revert back to the mean and eventually correct themselves, this is a very short amount of time, man. I think 100 years from now, we're going to look back and say, whoa, like, we had no fucking clue. We were operating on way too short of a timeline.
Right, but when you inject and you start a system like this, you can't just stop it, right? I mean, you literally cannot stop it. It has to push to the point of chaos. This is, to me, how the world works, right? And I am a big proponent of the chaos theory. It's like once everybody is accustomed, is comfort, you know, there's a comfort in the system, and it just works. It's been shown to work, you know, to some degree, where people, you know, a good amount of people have money, a good amount of people have jobs. You know, we have to keep going with that system, right? So in come the talks of bailing out all these fucking companies again, which we said in 2008 we were never going to fucking do. And in comes all the same bullshit that, you know, that is happening before, because there's no other tool, or there's nothing else to do except push it until the brink of complete fucking collapse. I want to ask you about the chaos thing, man. Do you think out of the chaos there is some good things that are happening from all of this that is happening right now, the coronavirus? I mean, James Altucher put out something the other day where he was like, in 10 years, whatever was going to happen in 10 years, a.k.a. whatever bad decision was going to blow up in your life in 10 years, it's going to happen now, a.k.a. if you have a shitty relationship, you're going to dump it now. If you had a shitty job, you're going to dump it now. If you wanted to start a business, you're going to start it now. If you wanted to change X, Y, and Z, you're going to do it now. Do you believe there is a lot of good that's coming out of the chaos that we're seeing right now? I guess is what I'm asking.
Well, first off, I address your point by saying that I think that we can change it. I mean, you say, well, we can't stop now that we started. We can stop. Okay. It's just that what happens is when you stop, you know, something has to give a little bit, and that's our comfort level, right? And so what we see with this pandemic is it's shaking our comfort level, and we don't like to have our comfort level shaken. But we can do the same thing with QE. We could have done half the QE that we wanted to do this time around, you know, or we could say, hey, we're committing to buying back X amount over X amount of time to dump off the balance sheet, and we're following through with it. Come hell or high water, that's what we're doing. You know, people will be uncomfortable for a while, and then they'll adjust. But it's that initial discomfort, like, as soon as we dip our toes in the water, bah, we got to jump out right away. To your other question about whether good things are happening, I think they are. I think that this has provided a platform for a lot of people to jump off and take on projects, like you said, that they hadn't. I mean, look, when you're locked around in the house for a month, you start looking for fucking things to do. My best friend Manny called me the other day, said, I just painted the ceiling in my kitchen. You know, I'm like, why? He's like, well, I had the paint laying around and I've been meaning to do it for 3 years, you know? Like, and I was like, oh, all right, you know? So, yeah, I think it's prompting people to do that. And I also think that, and I hope it's not short-lived, but I feel like it's going to. I feel like the way that people talk to each other and see each other and interact with each other has just been nicer over the last month. And I really like that. You know, when I see people around the neighborhood, they wave more, they smile more. You know, people are happy to speak to each other and just have human interaction. And I hope that 6 months from now, 12 months from now, 3 years from now, whenever this thing blows over, that we remember how much it sucked to not have anybody around, and we try to carry that with us in our day-to-day interactions.
Yeah, my sexual tension, bro, is really killing me, man. Actually, that's what I was doing when you heard the vibrating, when you heard all that. That's actually what I was doing. I was pausing just so I could jerk off, man. That's actually what the fuck I was doing, bro. My sexual tension is killing me, bro. I'm dying, man. I'm dying. I'm fucking dying, bro.
Yeah, well, maybe I should just give you 5 minutes and let you finish up, and you come back a little bit more relaxed because you sound very tense. No, but seriously, look, and a lot of people that I do jiu-jitsu with have said similar things in the, you know, not that their sexual tension is killing them, but that is, I mean, that's really a thing, man. There's something to be said for just laying with somebody, just touching somebody. And even I have a friend that lives in Montreal who trains up there. And she was just telling me, like, I just miss the touch of touching human beings in jiu-jitsu. Like, doesn't even matter, man, woman, whatever, like just being, you know, jiu-jitsu is grappling. So, you know, you get used to being very close to people. Fat people, skinny people, men, women, stinky people, people that smell good, you know, whatever. You're there to kill each other, so there's not a lot of time to think about that shit. But you do miss that human touch, man. There's something to it. I'd be lying if I said over the last, like, 45 days it wasn't something that I thought of. Like, oh, what would it be like just to lay with somebody, or just to go on a date, or just hold somebody's hand, or whatever? Like, yes. I don't know, man. I think a lot of other people are probably struggling mighty with that, because that's not something that traditionally I have always, like, needed. But I think there are a lot of people out there that need it, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, for me, it's just, you know, being away from my girl. I mean, we have a long distance relationship and all, but you know, we make sure we see each other when, you know, these tensions do kind of hit peaks and all this kind of stuff, right? So, you know, we see each other when we need to, and this is going to be a prolongated, especially from other parts of the world. They've closed the airports completely. You can't go in and you can't get the fuck out, man. And
Right.
anywhere else in the world, you cannot go in and you can't get out. So, you know, besides the US, you know, it's difficult, man. And now,
Well,
you know,
she's still in PR, right?
she's in Ecuador. She's in
Oh,
Ecuador.
she went to Ecuador.
She went to Ecuador, bro.
When did she go to Ecuador?
She went to Ecuador, I want to say like 4 or 5 months ago. 4 or 5 months ago.
Like to permanently live there.
Yes. I
Is
mean,
she
permanently, temporarily kind of thing. Yeah, she's Ecuadorian.
Right, yeah, I remember. She's from there, right?
Yes,
Ah, got it. So it's something new for you, because especially because you guys were together on an island for a while, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. So, you know, but you know, we both live these sort of new 2020 transitory lives, man. I mean, I want to set up a trade space. I want to set up a trading office just like I have in PR and help locals, you know, learn how to trade. I want to do it in India, bro. I want to do it in Nigeria. I want to do it in places that, number one, people would, you know, people in America would just never fucking go to. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
that's kind of where I'm at. And if I want to be able to do something like that and have a relationship, obviously it's got to be not your run of the mill typical relationship. I feel like that's the case with men like us, bro. You know, we're all over the place, man.
We're definitely all over the place. That is a certainty, my friend. And
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, you guys are both kind of you're both kind of like Instagram influencers. You know, you're living this futuristic kind of 2020. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm not in a position to comment on what kind of relationships are the best, what kinds are the
Sure.
worst, what kinds function well,
Sure.
what kinds don't function well, because I'm not sure that I've figured it out, you know? And it's you think about all, like right now I'm watching a documentary on Netflix about a guy that's accused of killing his wife. And one of the things that they talk about is, oh, the guy was secretly bisexual and he's having an affair with a man in the in the background, whatever, you know, unbeknownst to his wife. And the defense raised the argument at one point in this series that, like, oh, you know, just because he slips out the back door occasionally and goes and sleeps with a guy doesn't mean that he doesn't love his wife. And I was just thinking, like, man, relationships are so fucked up, man. Like, who knows what the answer is? Who knows what, you know, is it one man, one woman? Is it just who you love? Is it being polyamorous? Is it, you know, abstaining completely? Is it, it's wild to think about, man. And I don't know what nature's answer to relationships is.
Agreed. Agreed. Yeah, I think it evolves. I think it evolves, man. I think it evolves. Just like, you know, just like anything else, man. I think it evolves. So we have to evolve with it. And, you know, I'm not the easiest guy to have a relationship with, man. And I understand that, man. I used to think it was everybody else, bro. I used to think it was all the girls, man. But in reality, I'm not the easiest either.
Well, I gotta tell you, man, it took me like 2 months to book you on the podcast. I'm like, Jesus, man. You know what I mean? I was like, I thought we were cool, me and you. I'm like, what's up, man? I know we're buddies, but hey, I'm the same way, man. From start to finish, from the beginning of the day to the end of the day, I'm doing things. I am
Yeah.
booked, man. And I have a list
Yeah.
of people, of unanswered emails and unanswered
Yeah.
texts, and like, you know, just people that are just texting themselves at that point, just getting furious, man. Dude, you don't pick up? You're not gonna pick up a fucking phone, man? All right, man. You know, 2 days later, you know, just go fuck yourself, whatever. Blah, 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 blah. And what I find is, if I get back to them in like a week or two, and I'm like, hey, sorry, I was real busy. They're like, oh yeah, no problem. You know, I'm like, oh, no problem. Because you sit here, go fuck myself. You know, like, so.
Absolutely, absolutely. We understand, though. We're both busy men, and dude, life happens, man. Life happens. Especially now, I think it's gotten di more difficult for me to communicate with people. I think in general, like sometimes this stuff has me all in my freaking emotions, and at night, like I just don't even want to. I don't want to talk to fucking anybody, man. I don't even
Right.
want to. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to see anybody. You know, it's kind of that traitor syndrome as well. So sometimes when, you know, business is crazy and all this kind of stuff is going on, man. I just shut down, bro. So sometimes you might have caught me in a shutdown a couple of weeks, bro.
That's all right, man, because I get like that too. I understand. And hey, you know what? We both made the time to talk to each other now, and that's cool. And then we'll talk again, whatever, in a couple months. But I get the same way where, you know, if I can sit at home by myself and then whatever it is I want to do, man, if I wake up and I feel like socializing, well, there's a thing for that. Well, there used to be, you know, I could hop in a car, I could, you know, I could hop in an Uber rather and go to a bar or whatever. You know, if I feel like I want to go get a coffee, I get a coffee. If I want to read, I can read. If I want to go down the city, I go down the city. If I want to hop on a plane, go somewhere else, I could do that. If I want to go to jiu-jitsu, I could do that. You know,
what a life we live, man. What a life we have.
Yo, but Lucci, but baseline, man, like zero is always just returning back to that house by yourself for me.
Yep. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yo, to be quite honest, man, like I get pulled in different directions very easily, you know, especially when times are going good, right? I mean, when we talk about business, when we talk about business in general, what do all businesses do? What do all traders do? What do all, I mean, shit, there were those fucking oil traders that were, I think it was those banks or somebody was giving out loans based off of the oil supply that somebody had so that they could go fucking trade and buy more fucking crude futures and shit, you know, and imagine getting stuck with that over levered, you know, to the point, to, you know, through the hilt, man. That shit is crazy. But I think everybody does it in general. I'm getting better with it. But I think when times are good, I add a lot of things to my plate. I get overwhelmed with the shit that I have.
Right.
I can't execute on the shit that I have. And then immediately I start shaving shit off. This is just the natural process of things. You get too big and then you start shaving shit off. What happened, I think, and what's going on with me now is a lack of focus, bro. Like I got so many different projects, but I'm lacking the focus on the one or the two that really, really matter. And leaving the rest of the bullshit behind. You know what I mean? I'm allowing a lot of different energy to come into my space, and it shouldn't be. Like I know which avenues and which lanes I need to focus on, but of course, just like with anything, it's not that easy, especially right now with everything that's going on and all the fucking noise I have in my fucking brain all the time. It's you know, but I'm getting there. I'm slowly getting to the point where it's like, okay, let's get back into fucking focus mode and let's stop fucking around out here.
When my listeners hear Sang Lucci and, you know, they hear me shout you out and now they hear you on the podcast and they want to know, like, well, what the hell does this guy do? Like, what is it that... No, but I mean, seriously, I mean, I talk about the steam room. The steam room's dope. The steam room's been around for like almost a decade now, right?
Like, sure.
What is it that you do? What do you, like, talk to people about when they go to sanglucci.com? Like, what's the thing that you're selling, man?
Yeah, when they go to sanglucci.com or wallstreetjesus.com, basically we sell data. We sell a high-level data subscription that can get you access to large bets, large directional bets that are being taken place, you know, in the market. So basically, you know, players will come in and buy $2 million of freaking Luckin' coffee. And all of a sudden, a week later, there'll be some fucking news out on it. Not exactly UOI, which is the unusual options activity or whatever that everybody talks about. We follow aggressive activity. So we get you that data. We pipe it into a chat room. We also sell education. And that's not where my time is taken. My time is taken on my passion projects, right? So I have two passion projects, and one of those is this new office in Puerto Rico. And what I wanted to do with that particular office was to bring the community back to trading and to bring traders together to speak on a level that, you know, we haven't really spoken on before. So unfortunately, through the coronavirus, you can't go to the fucking office here. I have to shut the shit down, and I can't rent out space there. So that's got me a little stressed out. And then on top of that, I run a small hedge fund, basically, where I teach locals from wherever these offices are located, where I teach them basically how to trade the strategy. So I'm basically trying to give jobs and also make money for those communities while I'm there. And then also have a trading office where everybody can kind of come around and talk to each other and talk about other strategies, build other strategies and all that shit. That's number two. And then number three is a behavioral data project. And this is something that me and QTR have talked about before, but this is something that I'm working on aggressively. So instead of looking at your trading history, let's say from a P&L perspective, which is what it is now, I mean, people use trading journals, but they never use it consistently. It's like, okay, you might write down some shit and you might write down your trade, but you never really get a clean look at the history of your trade and what a visualization of your trade would look like. So for example, right, let's say you buy an option at a dollar and it goes to $2 and then all of a sudden it goes back down to fucking zero, right? And you had the chance to get out at $2, but you let it go down to zero. Nobody's really giving you a picture of how many times you do that. And maybe things that can help you solve those issues. Right. So I want to delve much further into a more behavioral aspect of your trading history. And that's kind of what I'm working on. That has me a little stressed out, but that's the one that I need to focus on that I'm not focusing on. And then obviously I got my own trading, which is fucking extremely stressful. I got some other projects, real estate down in Puerto Rico, a couple other businesses going on down there as well. So I'm a little overstressed.
When was the last time you turned all your shit off for like 3 days?
Bro, it's been a while, man.
Was it when you went and did ayahuasca in the woods?
No. Anytime I'm with her. Whenever I'm with her, the shit turns off, bro. The shit turns off.
Everything.
Yep.
Even if it's days. Like you wake up in the morning, there's no firing up the laptop, none of that.
Nothing.
That's good, man. That's exactly how it should be. And that's something I think people have to learn, myself included, have to learn how to do that, man. Because it's so you really forget how much of a grasp these things get on you. And it's got to be strange being the other person, too. Watching a guy that, you know, is checking the futures at 4 a.m. when he wakes up to take a piss. You know, you're like, what are you doing? You know, what do you need your phone for? And, you know, you never stop and think, like, the fuck do I need my phone for? Like, what am I doing? You know, like some great thing's going to happen overnight that's going to, you know, make or break me, right? Like, yeah, just fucking leave it on the nightstand for now, you know?
Right. And even if you were to see something overnight, all it's going to do is create fear and anxiety. There's nothing that you can actually do about it. You can't do anything about it unless you wanted to hedge in some futures or something.
Yeah,
but
fuck
most
that.
Of us,
right.
You can't fucking do anything. So it really serves you no purpose. It really does. However, you want to check it because your life's on the motherfucking line.
Well, it shouldn't be. That's the point. You know what I mean? You should be able to take an 8-hour sleep. You should be able to board the plane from PR to Boston and not worry about whether or not you're going to wake up with fucking 25% of your account hacked off.
Agreed. I mean, that was on me. I could have prevented that situation, of course. But, you know, but to your point, like, I have to do it more often, man. I have to do it more often. And part of the reason why I created that trade space location was to offer and to influence other traders to do the same thing. Obviously, I can't do it if I'm doing it myself. If the star fucking trader in there is a junkie and a complete degenerate. Like, what I wanted to do was have this whole office packed and bring all these traders out with me on the island, you know, just to do shit on the island, get away from, and also come back and make sure we make some money. So that's kind of what I wanted to do with that particular office. So I'm on it, but it takes an immense level of discipline, of commitment, and of relying on instinct and always doing that right thing, which is extremely, extremely difficult to do only because we have all programmed ourselves to live inside the cocoon that feels so nice and comfortable that you just assume anytime you have to leave the cocoon, it's going to be a no. It has to be a no because there's nothing outside of this cocoon that could be better for me. Even though you might know it and you might want it, it's still just great to sit in that damn cocoon, watch Netflix, and fucking sit on that phone, bro. It's crazy.
And you know what, man? I'll wrap it up here by saying that song that you sent me, the Damian Marley song, I put out a tweet the other day that was like, hey, you know, shoot me all your favorite reggae songs. So I'm thinking, I love reggae music, and I am looking for new music, and I've gone through, like, you know, the Spotify playlist and all that shit. So I said, what I'm going to do is crowdsource this shit. And I figure, yep, if I could get everybody's favorite song, then, you know, I'd have a bunch of favorites to comb through, whatever. So yep. I listen to pretty much all of them. I dug like probably 30% of them to the point where like I added them to a playlist, whatever. Sure. But the song that you put on there, which I had never heard before, which is a Damian Marley song called
Affairs of the Heart.
Affairs of the Heart, right. Is just one of those songs that makes you feel a certain kind of way. And it actually inspired me to start a whole different playlist. First off, it's not really, you know, it's not a reggae song per se. It's sort of like a dance hall song by Damian Marley. It's got that kind of it's got like a reggaeton, like a dance hall kind of beat to it. But it's those synths, whatever he uses, those synthesizers.
It's that fucking trumpet, yo, that trumpet. That damn synth trumpet. Yep.
Something about the way that sounds, man, gets right in. And you want to talk about piercing through the cocoon. When I saw your tweet, you said, oh, this one touches my soul for some reason, you know, whatever. Yep. And I was like, I wonder what the fuck this is. And I turned it on. At first listen, I was like, oh, I get it, you know?
Yep, 100%, man, 100%. I'm so happy that you appreciated that song, and I'm so happy you're a lover of reggae, man. I did the same thing, by the way. I think you might have missed it. I did it like super late at night. I was drunk as shit. I was like, yo, send me your favorite freaking reggae tracks, because I just be jamming out, especially when I'm in Puerto Rico, man. That's all that bumps on the playlist, man. That's it.
Well, I did see it, and I responded to you. And,
did you?
Yeah, I put like 500 tweets under there because I think I was drunk too. It was this Friday or Saturday night. And I was like, I was probably on my phone like you were. I'm like, hey, this motherfucker wants some good music. I'm gonna check this shit out. I got something for him, you know, blah. And, but I was thinking, man, that was a really good idea. I got to do that shit too. So that's, you know, you inspired me basically to do it. Plus I went through all the songs that were on the list that you put up. But how did you get into reggae music?
Dude, when I was younger, man, I mean, I grew up around Latin. I grew up around mostly Latin people. And when I say grew up, I'm saying after the age of maybe like 16 and 17. So I want to say I matured alongside, you know, mostly blacks and Hispanics. So my best friend was Jamaican. You know, most of my friends were all Dominican and Puerto Rican. So at the time, 2000s, it was the Daddy Yankee era, bro. The Daddy Yankee motherfucking era,
Gasolina.
Man. That was him. That was it. So that's what most of the, you know, the Latino folk were listening to. And then, you know, whenever I would go to party in and around my way, it would always be reggae. It was always reggae, man. You'd have that crazy, crazy loud freaking reggae blasting, and everybody was up in there just grinding on each other, man. And that was always the vibe, man. And from there, you know, from my, I would hang out with my best friend's pops, and I would play dominoes with him and, you know, and some of his crew. And they would always be like, oh, that's trash, man. They'd be like, yo, the shit that we listen to, the kids listen to, is horrible. And he would put me on to all this old school, like roots rock, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, from there, it's just, and then when you're in the island, when you're on the island, bro, and you're listening to it, you understand it. It just clicks, bro.
Right.
It just clicks, man. When you're driving around on the island and you listen to any of this shit, it just clicks right away, man. It's the weather is half of it, bro. The weather is fucking half.
Right. And the visuals probably help too, right?
Yep, absolutely.
The only thing I remember about Daddy Yankee was when he endorsed John McCain, that awkward moment. I don't know if you remember. But at one point when John McCain was running for president against Barack Obama, you know, some focus group of John McCain's like, well, we got to go out and we got to get a Hispanic guy, you know, to give you some endorsement, because right now you're fucking probably polling at zero with Latinos. And they went to some high school somewhere in, like, I think it was probably in, like, Miami or something. And he's in the auditorium there, dressed up, holding his microphone, you know, and that's why I should be running for president. And now, two-time Grammy Award-winning artist, Daddy Yankee, you know, and fucking Daddy Yankee rolls out with his shades on. He's, like, all decked out, like, got, like, expensive True Religion jeans on and all this shit. And you see all these, like, high school girls, like, fanning themselves. And,
no,
and,
no.
And then they give Daddy Yankee the microphone, and he's like, he's trying to endorse John McCain. He's like, yeah, I just really like what Mr. McCain is doing, and you have obviously no fucking idea, what he was or wasn't endorsing. And then at the end, there's this moment where John McCain's just like, well, I think the only thing left to do is say, thank you, Daddy Yankee. he fucking called him Daddy Yankee, and I was just dying. All right, that's a different story. That shit's on YouTube, though. You guys can find that on YouTube somewhere.
I mean, that reminds me of Hillary Clinton after her visit to Puerto Rico, and she tried to end her speech with a line in Spanish, and she was like, "Yo, quiero Puerto Rico." She sounded like a fucking Taco Bell ad, bro. She was so embarrassed.
Do you remember when she went on the Breakfast Club and they were like, what's one thing you always have on you? And she was like, hot sauce. I was like, oh, come on.
Oh, my God.
Even I think Charlamagne was like, come on. And she stood by. She's like, no. Hot sauce, It's like, you don't have fucking hot sauce on you. Like, how fucking insulting is that shit? Yep. And people wonder why she lost the election. Like, there's such a thing as trying to pander too much, right?
Man, pandering crosses lines that are very subtle, but they're fucking there, man. And fuck that. They're not subtle. They're right in front of you. They're so obvious and so blatant when you pander, when you try to cozy up to a particular group that you don't know shit about. Like, you cross lines without even knowing what the fuck you're doing just because you want something that right. they have. And you're bound to say something. You're bound to say something fucking stupid, bro.
I mean, I was insulted by it, and I'm not even black. I was like, she's obviously pandering, right? Like, I mean, she had advisors on that fucking focus group. Like, yeah, just walk in there with a bag of Popeyes, It's like, at some point, don't you think it's overdoing it a little bit? She was too formulaic, and I think a lot of people called her out on her bullshit. But listen, Mr. Lucci, thank you so much for being generous with your time, my friend. And let's do it again soon, man. We'll go to distance. I know that your time's limited because you got things going on in your personal life right now. But we're going to go to distance on another podcast soon. You come back like in a month or two?
Absolutely, man. I think you should broadcast from Puerto Rico. Hopefully when this stuff dies down, man. Hopefully we can get you down there, bro.
Well, I have a friend in Kingston that I told, actually, while we were having this reggae discussion, I sent him a DM and I was like, dude, I'm coming to fucking visit you as soon as this thing's over. Like, yeah, I don't care if you want me or not, but I'm going to Jamaica and chilling out for a little while. So I'll stop in PR and see you too on the same trip.
Dude, I might even tag along with me and the girl might even tag along with you to Jamaica. We've never been, bro.
Dude, we should do that. We'll talk about this offline. We'll talk about this offline. I got a guy that'll hook us up, man. All right, brother. We'll talk to you soon, Sang Lucci.
Later.
All right. That was the one, the only Sang Lucci calling in, putting me on hold, ignoring my conversation. I'm like, this is happening all the time now with podcasts. I call people. I feel like I'm wasting their time. Hey, this is a public service announcement. You don't want to come on a podcast, don't fucking come on a podcast, all right? I don't know. I don't badger people. I'm like, hey, come on. Hey, I say once, you want to come on? You say no, that's fine. I fucking leave you alone. You know what I mean? Last couple of times I had people call me. Hey, can I do a podcast? Yeah, sure. Fuck yeah. Come on. Whatever. No problem. People that I like. I don't like unsolicited offers anyways. But hey, I don't know what's going on, man. Maybe I'm losing my luster. That's good. Maybe I'll retire. Maybe I'll retire from doing podcasts or retire from Twitter and just rest up and go meditate on a mountain somewhere. But it's not likely, folks. I'm the fuck out of here. Peace.